chapter number 3 this evening, Philippians chapter number 3, and give you the thought that's on our heart tonight, and tried to pray concerning the service this evening, but just couldn't get away from these thoughts, and it's just very apparent to us tonight that this is where the Lord would have us to be. All right, Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 1 tonight, Philippians 3. And verse number 1, familiar passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is dealing with to the church here at Philippi. And appreciate the book of Philippians tonight. Amen. Such a rich book. And we'll begin reading here in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And just read a little bit down through the chapter. All right. Philippians 3 and verse number 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain in the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for this service tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we've had the opportunity, Lord, to hear from this missionary brother. We thank you, Lord, for the work, Lord, that he's involved in. We ask you, Lord, that you bless him. And Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, in the furtherance of this service, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us by your word tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that's already been said and done. Lord, you know we stand in need of your touch tonight. Lord, this is a rich chapter. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us, Lord, to give what you've laid upon our hearts out of it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be a help to us. Lord, I pray above all that you'd help us to magnify the Lord Jesus tonight, Lord. And I pray that we would be strengthened, Lord, that we would be encouraged and edified, Lord, by your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just give us strength, Lord, to go on another mile, that we may continue to serve you with joy and, Lord, with gladness tonight for your honor and your glory. So we ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Philippians chapter number 3, as we already said, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And of course, Paul is indeed writing here to the church at Philippi. And there's not much negative that Paul had to say concerning this church. This church was very dear to his heart, not to say that they weren't sinful people, just like everybody else. But there was great joy that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church, and it was concerning that joy. And then he comes to the close of the book. He kind of begins to wrap up his thoughts, and he says in verse number 1, he's telling them that he is writing to them again and mentioning again the things that they have already heard. And can I say this tonight, that as we come to the house of God, oftentimes we'll hear a message that we've already heard, or we'll hear thoughts that we've heard down through the years. We'll hear the same songs that have been sung and things that are familiar to us tonight. If we're not careful, those things that that we're familiar with, they can kind of lose their savor. They can lose their meaning tonight. But can I say this? When it comes to the church, and when it comes to the Word of God, and when it comes to following Christ and living for Him, that repetition is a real good teacher tonight. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that there wasn't anything strange or anything different that we heard, any kind of new doctrine that was sung about or talked about tonight. But thank God the old story, as they sing about, it'll never grow old. Amen. And we can hear those truths over and over and over again. And that's kind of the thought that Paul opens up this third chapter with. He tells them that it is not grievous for them, but it is safe for them. It is profitable for them. And Paul kind of goes into his testimony a little bit. But to get down to where we want to draw the thought from, familiar passage of verse number 10. Paul says this, he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And as Paul is writing to this church, maybe just as we would, maybe they heard these words and they thought, well, Paul, if there's anybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, it's you. We remember how you told us how you met Him on the Damascus Road and how He changed your life for time and eternity. And He called you to go to the Gentiles, and He called you to go to the kings of the world, and He called you to go to the Jew. If there's anybody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, it's you. And so we know tonight that Paul knew Christ in salvation. There is no doubt about that tonight. But as we kind of look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it becomes evident to us that he knew Christ in surrender. He knew Christ in service. You read through the book of Acts, Paul knew Christ in storms, and Paul knew Christ in shipwrecks, and sadly behind the bars of prison and the dungeons of prisons, Paul knew what it was to know Christ in his solitude. But as we read through the book of Philippians, we come to verse number 10 of chapter number 2, and he said, wherefore God also have highly exalted him. You know what that tells me tonight? It tells me that Paul knew Christ in his supremacy tonight. Amen. Thank God. Listen, Paul lived a life that was all about Christ. Amen. And thank God, as we've come to worship tonight, may we be reminded that it always ought to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to always be lifted up. He ought to always be exalted tonight. And listen, as saved individuals, as Christians, that is our job tonight. Amen. It is to exalt the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes into this third chapter, and he kind of begins to talk about his testimony a little bit. He reminds these believers that they are of the circumcision in verse number 3. And of course, that is not something that was done with hands. That was something that God did within the heart, the circumcision of the heart. And he said, we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And he said, we have no confidence in the flesh. He says in verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He begins to talk about his testimony a little bit. First of all, I see Paul's pedigree in verse number 5. He said, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. There was nobody else that touched the fulfillment of the traditions of the fathers like the Apostle Paul did. We find not only his pedigree, but then we find his perspective in verse number 7. He talks about who he was and where he came from and what he did. But he says in verse number 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We see his pedigree, his perspective. But then, I like this tonight, we find his pursuit in verse number 9. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, I was living a life, and I was pleasing myself. I was doing the things that I thought that I ought to do in order to please God. But thank God, he had a head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he found found out who he was and what he was and what he was involved in, he said all of that stuff was dung. It was refuse and it was waste outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to me, everything that we pursue after in this world, listen, all of the riches are going to fail one day. The career choice and all of those things, while they are pertinent to our life here in eternity, those things are not going to matter. Friend of mine, what's going to matter is what you did with Christ tonight. Amen. And Paul expresses this and he drives that point home. And then he turns the attention back to himself and he kind of shows this church what he is lacking. He says in verse number 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We've already uncovered the fact that Paul knew Christ, but he wanted to know him deeper tonight. Amen. Just want to simply preach on that subject matter tonight, that I and you may know him tonight. Amen. You may be here tonight like the Apostle Paul and you say, I'm saved tonight and I have the salvation that only God can give tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful that you're a believer tonight and that time and eternity has been settled for you. Thank God the old account was settled long ago at the cross of Calvary and you've grasped that and you've taken advantage of that by faith tonight and you have won Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, Christ is yours tonight, and you know him, and you know that you're saved. But listen, Paul is not necessarily talking about just knowing Christ in salvation, but he's talking about knowing him in a deeper place of fellowship tonight. Amen. Paul knew Christ, I say again, but wanted to know him deeper tonight. Number one, as we examine verse number 10, and we'll get to the message in just a moment, but there are some key words that we find in verse number 10 that are very powerful words that would jump out to us. Number one, in verse number 10, Paul said that I may know him. What kind of knowledge is he talking about? What kind of relationship is he speaking about here? That word know comes from a Greek word, genosko, and it means absolute tonight. Amen. It means to be aware of and to understand. And I might say it like this tonight, that as we look and we see that as the Apostle Paul says in verse number 10, that I may know him, there is an assurance and there is a surety tonight that comes with knowing the Lord. Amen. We're living in a day and hour where nothing is sure. Amen. Listen, truth is something that is kind of a subjective in the eyes of many people. Many of our universities and education systems are telling our young people and telling this generation that there is no such thing as absolute truth, and they're absolutely sure of that tonight. Amen. But I'm glad when it comes to the Word of God that there are some things that we can mark down. We can take God at his word. And I'm glad that the Apostle John, as he wrote to that church there at Ephesus, he said, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may know that you have believed upon the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm glad tonight. Listen, there's a whole lot of times in life I don't know up from down. Amen. I don't know what the day's going to bring. I don't know the current situation, the political climate, or the social scene, or the economic forecast. But I'm glad when I come to the Word of God, there's some things that we can know tonight, and His truth never changes. And thank God there is some assurance in knowing Christ tonight. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know that you're saved, to know the Son of God, to know that Christ is your Savior, to know that God is your Father, to know that the church is your family, to know that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside and He is your comforter and your guide and your friend tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know some things tonight. Amen. So there is some surety in knowing Christ. He goes on to say that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that word power is a Greek word dunamis tonight, amen. A dynamic or dynamite would be English words that were drawn from this root. But we could say it like this, that there is strength in knowing Christ, amen. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, as Jesus died, He lifted His eyes up towards the heaven. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. He died. They took Him off the cross. I put Him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And here's what the writer of the book of Acts says. He says that God hath raised Him from the dead. Amen. Thank God we've got a risen Savior tonight. And it ain't even Easter. And I'm excited about that tonight. Amen. Thank God He's seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He's there at the right hand of God. He's pleading our case. He's making intercession for us. And there is great power that is available at the throne of God. Listen to me, as the lifeless body of Christ lay in that tomb. Thank God. Listen, God raised Him from the dead. And those eyes that closed in death, and those lungs that stopped breathing, and that heart that quit beating. Thank God. God said, son, it's time to wake up and walk out. And the power of God is what raised our Savior from the dead. You say, what's the big deal about that? I'm glad you asked tonight. Of the same power that raised our Savior from the dead is the same power that is available for Christian living. You say, well, I don't know about that. Oh, listen, don't you sell God short tonight. Don't rob yourself of a blessing, amen. Don't have the wrong attitude about that. Listen, our God is alive forevermore, and He's given you the victory over sin. And He's given you power to live the Christian life, and it is available to you tonight. Amen. The Bible says that if we'll draw nigh unto God, that He'll draw nigh unto us. You can have as much of Him as you want tonight. You know what I like to do? I'm not trying to incriminate anybody else in here tonight, but you know what I like to do? I like to blame my lack of power or my lack of fellowship or my lack of communion with Christ. You know what I like to do? I like to blame it on situations. Well, if I just had more time. If I just had more, ability. If I was just a little smarter with the Bible, or if I could exposit the Scriptures a little better, if my situation was different, and I begin to blame my lack of knowledge and my lack of fellowship and really my lack of spending time with Jesus, I'll try to blame it on other things. Amen. Yeah. Now, I didn't say you did that. I said I did that. Amen. But I like to blame things and blame the circumstance tonight. But the fact of the matter is I spend my time how I want to. Yes, sir. That's amen. That's right. The fact of the matter is if I want to read this, I will. Yep. Yeah. And if I don't, I won't. Yep. The fact of the matter is I want to tell somebody about Jesus, I will. Yep. But if I don't, I won't. The fact of the matter is if I want to give more to Him tonight and allow Him to have the totality of my heart, the fact of the matter is tonight is I will if I want to tonight. We don't need to blame circumstances. We surely don't need to blame other people. We don't need to blame things in this world on our lack of fellowship and our lack of power, because He has made Himself available to us tonight. What He asks in return is that we make ourselves available to Him. Amen. There is power that is available for Christian living. It takes the power of God to be an effective witness. It takes the power of God to be an effective Sunday school teacher. And I thank God for the PowerPoints, and I thank God for the studying. But let me tell you something, there is no replacement tonight for just God-ordained power. That's right. Tonight. And that's what we need, isn't it? There's surety in knowing Christ. There's strength in knowing Christ. I want to say this, that there is a sweetness in knowing Christ. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Yes. You say, well, that don't sound too sweet to me, the fellowship of His sufferings. I like fellowship. Well, you start talking about getting together in the fellowship hall, especially if there is food involved, I'm there. You don't even have to call me. You don't even have to ask. I'm there. I like fellowship. I like sitting around the table with God's people. Enjoy getting to sit with a pastor and talk about the issues in his church, talking about things with Christian friends. And there's just something wonderful about the blessing of fellowship. We like fellowship. But that part about sufferings, I've got a hang up there. I don't like that. I don't like to suffer. And the fact of the matter is in our country, if the AC isn't just right, or they didn't bring our food out from the drive-thru quick enough, or, you know, we've got some, you know, somebody doesn't like us, or some foolish thing like that, we think that we're suffering. We have no idea what it is to suffer for Christ in this country. No clue. But that word fellowship is the word koinonia. It means partnership. Paul is trying to remind us tonight that we're in this thing together. Not just togetherness with the church, but you as an individual tonight, you're in this thing with Christ. And Christ is in this thing with you tonight. Amen. There is a partnership. There is a sweetness that comes from suffering and hardship in the Christian life. Because understand, if everything was wonderful and everything was a bed of roses and everything was just easy and ticked all the boxes of comfort and enjoyment in our life, listen, we might not ever draw close to the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
But it's during that difficult time that the Lord puts us on our knees. It's in those difficulties that we find ourselves into the secret place when we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to put it all together. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a lost family member. Maybe it's a large financial sum. Maybe it's some personal problem that you can't tell anybody about tonight. But I'm glad that you can tell Him. Amen. Maybe it's some illness. Maybe it's some sickness or some affliction that you've had to pass through tonight. Amen. But here's what the people of God know, that as they pass through the school of affliction and they pass through sufferings, thank God when we come out on the other side, what we do not have tonight is a Savior standing at the finish line trying to egg us on, saying, "You can make it. You can make it. Just do a little better. Just go a little farther." But what we have tonight is we have a Savior that gets up under the load with us, and He encourages us, and our steps become His steps, and His steps become our steps. And when we get out on the other side, there is a sweetness in knowing that the Savior went all the way with us. Thank God that our sufferings become His sufferings. He has suffered. He has been afflicted. He has been despised and rejected of men. He knows and understands how you feel tonight. There's a sweetness. But then can I say this, that there is shapeability. There is a shaping process in knowing Christ. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Watch this, being made conformable unto His death. Conformable unto His death. That word conformable, the Greek word somorphos, it means to be jointly formed, to be fashioned, and to be made. In other words, He is making us what He desires for us to be. And you know the end result tonight. It's not just some trophy of grace. It's not just something that something in our wild imagination or our dreams that we want to be for God. And you ought to dream for the Lord, and you ought to have some desires. But understand, the end goal tonight is Christ.
Yes.
That's the end result. That's the finish line. That is the expected end that Jeremiah talked about that God had for His people. It's not just a nation. It's not just a new Jerusalem. It's not just owning property and having possessions in this world as God has promised to His people. But the end for Jew and Gentile alike, the end for every saved individual, the end for all of the redeemed is to be like Him tonight. And He is shaping us, and He is working on us, and He is forming us into the image of His Son tonight.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? If not, something's wrong.
That's right, sir.
Am I more like him than I was yesterday? If not, whatever the problem is, I need to fix it because I want to know him more. I want to be more like him. I want to be formed and fashioned into his image. There's way too much of me. Amen. When I'm walking around, when I'm living and I'm working, there's a whole lot of me and not enough of him tonight. And really, that's what the Christian life's all about.
Amen.
That you could be like him. That you may know him. And that be the realized and final goal in our life. Knowing Christ does four things. I want to give them to you quickly and I'm done. Number one, Christ, knowing Christ allows us to release our past. Look what he said again in verse number 70. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says in verse number 13, if you drop down, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here the Apostle Paul is, and he talks about what he was and what he had and what he possessed. And he said, what things were gained to me at one time. At one time I thought those things were profitable. He said, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to arrived in our sense of the word. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I'm not everything that I ought to be. And the finish line is Christ. But brethren, let me help you. There were some things that I had to let go of. There were some things that I had to allow to remain behind me. And in faith, I pressed toward at the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And just as Paul had to let go of some things, to know him more, there's some things you're going to have to let go of. What is it tonight that is hindering you from knowing him better? Is it management of your time? Is it carnal desires? Is it an allurement for the things of this world? What is it tonight that keeps us out of fellowship with him? Maybe it's some things that you've done and you're ashamed of. You don't want anybody to know about. Understand tonight, here was a man who was talking to these people who had murdered Christians. In essence, he imprisoned them, put them in jail, aided the martyrdom of many, many Christians, followers of Christ. Don't you think that tore him up on occasion? Don't you think he thought about that every now and again? But what Christ allows us to do is release what we were, forget about what we were, and think about what we can be tonight. Amen. Christ allows us to release our past. Number two, Christ allows us to rearrange our priorities. As a young person tonight, there are some things right now that you think are important in your life. And you're going to realize one day they're just done. It's just waste. Wasted time, wasted opportunity. Give Christ the best years of your life. And you'll have no regrets concerning that tonight. Amen. Let God rearrange your priorities tonight. Number three, Christ allows us to realize our position. Paul said in verse number 9, he said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Can't work your way to heaven. Can't build a bridge to glory. Can't do any of those things tonight. Listen, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me tonight. Amen. And thank God he is the way. And to know God, you got Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Realize who you are. Realize that you know him. You have that capability tonight to know him more than what you do. And then lastly tonight, Christ allows us to revive our passion. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know what it's real easy to do? It's real easy to get our eyes on other things in this life.
It's easy to get our eyes on situations. It's easy to get our eyes on the circumstance and take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we realize that we know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, thank God the motivation is one day we will be like Him. And thank God as sanctification takes place and the old man falls off, as we put that old man off and we put off those sins and we put off those weights, thank God, God will increase our faith and He'll make us more like His Son tonight. Amen. And you can know Him, not just knowing Him in salvation, but knowing Him in a greater place of fellowship, knowing Him in a greater place of service, knowing Him in a greater place of communion tonight. How is it with your heart tonight? How is it with your everyday Christian life? How is it with your devotion? Are you happy with where you're at? Maybe you're not happy. Maybe you're just content. Maybe you're just satisfied. But can I tell you tonight, Jesus wants more for you. You say, what is it? It's Himself. To know Him more. To have greater fellowship with Him tonight. To have greater communion with Him. I understand this isn't really we're not shouting from the rooftops tonight. But I think I need this and I think you need this. I think we can all benefit from it. Just to know Him more. Just to take the time. Just to slow down. To rearrange some things in our heart, in our life. Where do we spend our time? Where do we invest our resources tonight? Is it in some carnal entertainment? Is it in something that doesn't matter tonight, or is it in Him? Would to God it would be in Him tonight. Amen. As we stand, as they play and sing, you mind the Lord tonight.